041 Living in the Past. Various presenters. 10th of June 2012.
A few more verses from Isaiah 54. It's with lasting love that I'm tenderly caring for you. This exile is just like the days of Noah for me. I promised then that the waters of Noah would never again flood the earth. I'm promising now, no more anger, no more dressing you down. Even if the mountains walk away and the hills fall to pieces, my love won't walk away from you. You know, I just think if I saw the mountains falling into the sea and the earth caving in, I might just think, does God love me? But he says, even though it's as crucial as that, my love won't walk away from you. My covenant commitment of peace won't fall apart. The God who has compassion on you says so. Afflicted city, storm battered, unpitied, I'm about to rebuild you with stones of turquoise. Lay your foundations with sapphires, construct your towers with rubies, your gates with jewels, and all your walls with precious stones. All your children will have God for their teacher. What a mentor for your children. You'll be built solid, grounded in righteousness. Far from any trouble, with nothing to fear. Far from terror, it won't even come close. If anyone attacks you, don't for a moment suppose I sent them. And if any should attack, nothing will come of it. I created the blacksmith who fires up his forge and makes a weapon designed to kill. I also create the destroyer, but no weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged. Any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. This is what God's servants can expect. I'll see to it that everything works out for the best. And that's my promise. Everything that's happening to you, God has promised, he will work out for the best. Don't be discouraged. Don't become downcast. Rejoice. God has a bright hope and a future for you. Praise his name. Thank you, Lord. Has anybody testimony to share? Something they would like to bring this afternoon? Bill has. Well, praise God. Come on, Bill. Let's have it. Let's rejoice together with what God said to his body today. Thank you. Thank God for those who are stepping out in faith and listening to God. Amen.
I'm going to take this opportunity this afternoon. Try and come out of my shell a little bit.
Amen.
Be a bit more flamboyant, shall we say.
Amen.
Oh, a flower shirt on, you might do, yeah. Like Andrew, like he was in his early life, I've always been very shy and well reserved. Time to try and get rid of my inhibitions. It's a learning curve. It's something I'm going to practice. So I'm going to try and throw my voice a little bit, be a bit louder. And if I get too quiet, somebody is going to say, speak up, throw your voice. And I might feel a little bit offended, because we do get offended. And at first we tend to get offended at the person who's told us that you've got too much pride or you're not throwing your voice enough. But really, we're offended at ourselves, because what the person says is the truth. We do have too much pride. And we don't throw our voice too much, because sometimes I let mine go murmur, murmur, murmur. And I listen to the playback when I get back home, and I think, what a lot of drivel. Too many errs and so there's the chuckles. And you know, when I say this err all the time, I look on the timeline on the video, on the audio processing, on the waveform, and it looks like an egg. I showed it Andrew one time. I said, look at that, that's an err, that egg shape. So we're going to try and get rid of that. I'm not going to work from notes either, so this is the first. We're moving forward. I've got bullet lines, bullet points, like Grace told me last time, so I'm going to go for a bit of boldness here. I can't read that anyway. This SD card should be one of the greatest blessings you'll ever receive in this or any other church. Other churches don't have them. We haven't.
Amen.
Now that at first sounds like a bit of self-congratulation, a bit of pride. Not really. That's an egg. Got that one out. On the 1st of June, I'm going to tell you something that's quite contrary to what we just said. So on the 1st of June, which was a Friday, I believe, I picked this up. And it was brand spanking new for the month. And you know what? It touched a lovely gut in me. I read this prayer at the end. And I was absolutely gutted. I was heartbroken. I was very emotional. I'm getting a bit emotional now as I look at it. It says, Lord, thank you that you are the one who measures how we've done in life and determines whether we've been successful. Help us to help that focus, even in disappointments. And at that moment, my entire life shot straight before me, straight before my eyes. And all I saw in that was going right back to my childhood, through school, through everything, was failure. I wrote the book on failure. I was baptised in it. It was my default position. If you want to know anything about failure, come and talk to me. Because I failed at everything I touched. Whether it be school, piano lessons, at work, everything. I even finished up in juvenile court several times. Until with the police, so... God says, don't look back, yeah. But that's what this made me do. And I had to fight against it. I had to talk to the Lord. We don't look back at the past. Look for the future.
Amen.
But it's nobody's fault. I can't say, it was my childhood. It was my parents. No, it was me. It was me. I've had a lifetime of making wrong decisions. And there'd be consequences. We all have to realise that every action is the result of a decision, and it leads to a consequence.
Yeah.
In later life, I tend to go a bit the opposite direction, and maybe I go too far. Some people call me a perfectionist. At the BBC, it was a case of, quick, Bill's here, get them cameras on tripods, you know what it's like. There's no escaping it. If the camera's not on a tripod, you see it on the footage. See, there's a reason why everything. The 30-mile-an-hour speed limit isn't there just to annoy you, or you, just to wind you up. It's there because it's to protect people, vulnerable people, like kids and old people who might be injured by you driving at more than 30 miles an hour. And the reason I want a camera try on a tripod is because when you play the footage back on a big screen, the picture will otherwise shake all over. So in case, don't let Bill see you with the cameras on your shoulders or on it, handheld. That's how it was. So some people might say, well, that's perfectionist, that's taking things too far. But it could be also that I'm making use of what God's given me in that I go the extra mile.
Yeah.
I think there's a verse in the Bible somewhere about going the extra mile.
Yeah.
What called Richard at St Mary's Church. Week last Thursday, he went out to read from the Bible. Now, he's about 16 years old and he's autistic. And he struggled and he made quite a hash of it. It was difficult for us to follow it. They were struggling. And then I went out on Sunday and read from the Bible and I did it quite fluently. Oh, good old me. Well, no, not good old me. See, what I gave was what I have an abundance of.
Yeah.
What he gave was everything that he got. It was the widow's mite. He gave everything that he got, and he really put his heart into that.
Yeah.
And we all sat there patiently trying to follow it, although it was difficult. But at least he went out there,
and he made
the effort. And
you
know, we've got to congratulate him for that. You know, so anyway, back to the SD card. This little device is such a marvellous thing. It's not, if you're going to eat it, you wouldn't even notice it. It's not even a biscuit. It's not even a cheese cracker. It's snowing now, it's on the floor. It's a tiny little device that can store oodles of information. What that enables us to do is to listen again. As I mentioned to Grace last week, I've been listening to one of her recordings and she's talking about John Wesley. And he said,
he kept going on about people being born again, and somebody says to him, when are you going to change the record and get on about something else? He says, when you become born again. Now, I've been listened to on this. I've listened to Dharma's presentation of Little Flock, which he did about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I must have heard it 11 times, and I still haven't learnt it. Every time I hear it, I play it again, although I've listened to it 11 times. I'm not at 15 yet. When I get to 15, I might know it all the way through, but I listened to it again this morning, after the 11th time. I listened to a little bit of it this morning. And as soon as I put it on, it's all fresh. It's all fresh. And that's what we've got to do. No other church gives you this benefit. I was in St Mary's this morning. They don't record the message, so when it's done, it's done. So, Dharma went on about... it was referring to Luke 12, and he went verses 22 to 34, and the last verse of that section was, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, I think we know the passage. You wanna, shall we read it? Luke 12, 22 to 34. I think this is, some of these messages are personal to you, and this one that Dharma gave, it meant so much to me. You know, one of the advantages of having these cars is that you can, all our minds wander at all different times. It's like somebody's mind probably wandered now, you're probably in Australia, or you're probably thinking about what you're having for lunch tonight. But the thing is, your mind will wander every time you hear it. If you hear it 15 times, your mind will wander 15 times, but each time it's probably at a different point. So eventually the bits that you do hear come together, and eventually you'll hear the whole lot. Sometimes what I can do is, when my mind's been wandering, when I come back down to earth again, we appear to be on a different topic altogether. I thought, well, what changed the subject? Well, you know, what did he do? Unless you've got the recording, you can't go back and think, well, how did he get here? So you can wind back, say we're on 22 minutes. I'll wind back to 20 minutes and find out what fills that gap where I was on another planet. I was in Doncaster, or I was in somewhere, or London somewhere. So you wind it back, and then you find sometimes that there is no link between... It's just changed the subject. It's gone from some preacher in America who makes a lot of money, and he runs his own private jet, and then he's on to about a subject that somebody in here needs to hear what I'm saying today. Somebody in here has got trouble. I think, well, how do they link? And they don't. But it don't matter, because I might drift onto another subject here today. Luke 12, 22 to 32. And he said to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life, as to what you will eat, not for your body, as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom, nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? Amen. If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith?
Yeah.
Hear, hear. And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom. I think it says in most versions, it says, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. What is this kingdom? Is it a building? Is it a country? Is it a place? No, it's not. It's a hole in your heart that's designed to have it fitted in.
Amen.
There's the kingdom of God, so when it's in there, then you've made it. Somebody at St Mary's said to me this morning after the service, we had quite a few people in here, didn't we? I says, yeah, we did. We had 57 in. And then he says, they didn't come for the sermon. He says, I just can't. I just can't get on with this presentation of the sermon. The bloke is so boring, and it's a 10-minute sermon, and he's reading every word from here and turning pages and doing his animations. Well, he says, I just can't get on with it. I says, well, you're not the only one to have said that. And I says, if, for example, you could have a spectrum of presentation technique. At one end, you've got Billy Graham, and at the other end, you've got somebody who presents it similar to what Eric presented this morning. It is you are there demonstrating the extremes of presentation and grasping interest. Now, I will guarantee that to anybody, if Billy Graham was in here now, you wouldn't mind wandering. He would command your attention. He would insist on it. His presentation technique will. And I'm going to demonstrate this, because I'm going to read this, so I might mutter at me. My voice might go very low at one point, because I'm going to do it deliberately. I'm going to read it twice. The human heart is expressed in that cross. Almost sadist as they flogged him, as they spat on him and placed a crown of thorns on him. Then they gave him a £250 cross to carry, and he stood wandering along the road with that cross. The death on the cross is said to be the worst possible torture that a man can endure. First they would strip him to the waist, then they would tie his hands together, then take long leather thongs embedded with steel pellets, and they would beat him across his back until his back was in ribbons. The flogging was done by large muscular men. Jesus endured this kind of flogging for you and for me. Then they placed on his head a crown of thorns, on his face bled as they jerked his beard off, and they spat in his face until he was covered in spittle. Hatred, prejudice, intolerance, vehemence, the human heart against Christ. Christ wasn't killed by Roman Israel. The Bible tells us that Christ was crucified by you and me. The human heart is expressed in that cross. Did we put a nail in Jesus' hand? But we say, I wouldn't put a nail in Jesus' hand, wouldn't we? We did it. The sins we committed today helped crucify Christ. We deserve judgment. We deserve hell. But Jesus said, I'll take the suffering, the judgment and the hell. He went to that cross because only he could be a sacrifice that would be pleasing to God. Judas betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. We betrayed him today. The lie we told, the lustful thought that we had, the immoral deed that we did, the cheating that we did in business, all of that is part of the betrayal. And we're as guilty as Judas. And we will go to the same place that Judas went, unless we repent of our sins. That's one way of presenting it. You see, I'll have to read it again, because I can't remember that. I'm not Billy Graham, so I've got to try and remember it. The human heart is expressed in that cross, almost sadist, as they flogged him, as they spat on him and placed a crown of thorns on him. They gave him a £250 cross to carry, and he stumbled along the road with that cross. The death on the cross is said to be the worst possible torture that a man can endure. First, they would strip him to the waist. Then, they would tie his hands together. Then take long leather thongs embedded with steel pellets, and they would beat him across his back until his back was in ribbons. The flogging was done by large, muscular men. Jesus endured this kind of flogging for you and for me. Then they placed on his head a crown of thorns, and his face bled as they jerked his beard off. Then they spat in his face until he was covered in spittle. Hatred, prejudice, intolerance, vehemence, the human heart against Christ. Christ wasn't killed by Roman Israel. The Bible tells us that Christ was killed by you and me. The human heart is expressed in that cross. Did we put a nail in Jesus' hands? But we say, I wouldn't put a nail in Jesus' hands, wouldn't we? We did it today. The sin we committed today helped crucify Christ. We deserve judgment. We deserve hell. But Jesus said, I'll take the suffering, the judgment and the hell. He went to that cross because only he could be a sacrifice that would be pleasing to God. Judas betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. We betrayed him today. The lie we told, the lustful thought that we had, the immoral deed that we did, the cheating that we did in business, even the paperclip you stole from work, even the 10 minutes late you came in after a skive. All that is part of the betrayal. And we're all as guilty as Judas, and we will go to the same place that Judas went, unless we repent of our sins. Amen. Oh, I'm going to talk about this book. This is the book that we did a session on. As Alan presented it to us over several evenings of last year, A Better Way to Pray. Now, I've read this 3 times, so that's not 15. I've got some way to go yet. But I'm learning from it. Every time I read this, I learn something new. Yeah. A few things I've got, like, speak to your mountain about God. Don't speak to God about your mountain. It's quite common for us is to pray to God, like we might say, can we sort Christine's disability out? Pray for that. What we should be doing is talking to the disability and saying, in the name of Jesus, be healed, leave her body, and all this stuff, and we should insist on it. And then Christine has a responsibility to then transfer that from the spiritual to manifest in the physical mode. So that's something that Christine will have to work on once this has been done, and eventually the healing. We have to believe it's already been, because it says here that when you ask for something in the name of Jesus, it's granted instantly, there and then. It's done there and then. The delay that ensues is caused by the time it takes to process it ourselves, to manifest from the spiritual to the physical mode. We once had a bloke come out here. Andrew asked him to come out. He had a disability in his hands. You see, you've got to want to be healed. Andrew says to this bloke, do you want to be healed? He says, yeah. He says, do you realise that if you're healed, you will no longer be able to claim disability, a living allowance and incapacity benefit? You'll have to go out and find a job or sign on job seeker. Yes, he said, I realise that. Do you want to be healed? He says, yes, he did. But he was lying. He'd never worked in his life, and he didn't want to, and he didn't want to work. He was lying, so why he came out here, I don't know. It's a double-edged sword, isn't it? You have to... People can pray for healing, but it's like just talking to the wall, unless the person's actually receiving it and wants to receive it. Somebody as well, it's about short prayer, you know. I think we can refer to Matthew 6 or something about how to pray and one thing or another. There's a lot of that mentioned in here. And it says Jesus did short prayers, such as in Mark 4:39 when he said, be still. That's a prayer. Not going on forever, that. Or was it 1 John 11, verse 43? Lazarus, come forth. That was a prayer. So, whatever we focus on, we'll grow.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. May God always go with you. He'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you, he'll never leave any of us, he'll never forsake any of us. Amen. That's my rendition for this week. Watch this space. Might do another next week. It's a growing process, and I did say a few weeks ago, I don't want to do this, so if I build up and improve my expertise and technique over the whiles, I might never get as good as Grace as Andrew, but it don't matter. You know. Was anybody wondering? Mind wondering?
Thank you, Bill. I'm just blessed. When Bill gets up, Claire, you've got to follow Bill. Come on, girl, go for it. Oh, ma'am, it's a delight to hear you.
I've got to follow on from Bill, so it fits in a little bit. So I'm going to read from Romans 12, verse 6. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging to everyone around you. If it is giving, give as generous as you can. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously and stand forward. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, then do it gladly. Sometimes Christians say, I am not gifted to speak, sing or do anything for the Lord. What use am I to him? Well, I have news for you. Every Christian is gifted by God to do at least one thing well for him. In other words, there is something that you can do for God which no one else in this room can do as effectively as you. I can't tell you what that is, and nobody can tell you what that is, but you can discover it for yourself. Try and think of the Church of Jesus as Paul did, as a body. Then reflect on how important every part of the body is to the other part. For example, can the heart do without the lungs? Or could the eye do without a finger, for example, when dust or dirt blows in your eye? Each part is sensitive to the needs of the other part, and God has put within you a sensitivity to meet the needs of other Christians. You've got to discover what you are most sensitive to within the church, what other people do that affect you, or what people say that affect you the most. Then you can start to begin to contribute along that line to the health of the body, which is your church. It might be different to what somebody else does, and it might only be one thing, but it doesn't matter, because nobody else in that room can do it like you. Nobody else can do those SD cards like Bill can do those SD cards. And without that, Pauline wouldn't have been stood in the kitchen this morning listening to the word, which we heard when we came in, which Bill heard again when he came in. I couldn't do that, and it wouldn't have been on if Bill hadn't have done that. And that's what Bill contributes to the church. As it was described in Romans, there are seven things which we can contribute to the church: preaching, serving, teaching, stimulating, encouraging the faith of others, giving, leadership, sympathy. God has designed you to contribute to his body, which is the church, in at least one of these seven ways. He may develop you into a preacher, a teacher, a server, a counsellor, a giver, a leader, or somebody that's got deep sympathy for others. So from now on, don't look back at what you can't do. In the days ahead, ask God to show you where you fit in this church, his body, and give you his own special witness to your heart as to exactly what gift you can give to others.
Every joint in that body supplies the body, doesn't it? We're all called. We just need to see what God wants us to do. I'm blessed this afternoon. Who's next to bless me? Hey, praise God.
Well, I've really felt God working with me with this, I tell you. I was doing this on Wednesday night while you was all at Bible study. It's been a very busy week. On Tuesday we celebrated my dad's 80th birthday, bless him, which was lovely. And then Wednesday, I thought about Bible study, and I just didn't feel like making the effort and going. I just felt tired. But I was doing this all night, and it really did speak to me, and I typed it all up on the computer. And I spoke to Ray about it, and he said he could print it off for me, because I'd done it. And then I thought, well, what do I do now? I can't take my computer to church. But this is what I've put anyway. I would like to share with you what is in my heart. I know I've had a lot of prayer from you all as regards my disability. I'm going to a gym 3 times a week. But it's not just a case of exercise. I've had an instructor educating me about diet, and it has really knocked me on the head. I'm eating as little processed foods as I can, concentrating on fresh chicken, fish and vegetables. This is to make me less tired, generally have a happier get-up-and-go attitude, enjoy life better. I now have a passion to do what I believe God is directing me to do. It is a process where I will have to learn through mistakes. But I have an instructor there to educate me, and I am doing a weekly food diary. I have a passion for this work, and I ask God to direct me as well. I want a new life where I can best serve you, dear Father, and in process to serve others as well. There are thousands of ways to get good exercise, and most of it doesn't cost a lot of money. Our bodies are fit together with joints, yes, because God expected we would be moving a lot. Before vehicles and electricity and machines, everything in the world was run by human power or animal power. If you wanted to get somewhere, you walked. If you needed to bring something with you, you carried it. We did the laundry by hand. This physical, active lifestyle may have been one of the reasons for the incredible longevity, is that, I never know how to pronounce it, longevity, of these biblical characters. The best walker of all must have been Jesus. He routinely walked from his home in Galilee to Jerusalem, a distance of about 120 miles over the course of his ministry. People thought very little of walking 10 miles. Because of this, they had well-developed bodies to accomplish such long walks with ease. The benefit of weight loss and having a better appearance is just the tip of the iceberg. Just a few of the conditions you can prevent are heart disease, stroke, diabetes, cancer, Alzheimer's, arthritis, asthma, depression, gastrointestinal ills. You'll get fewer colds, feel less stress, and look great too. Less fat, more muscle, better tone, straighter posture. Joyce Meyer is very passionate about this. I have to thank God for her. She has helped me crave this passion I feel. Fat has more than twice as many calories as protein or carbohydrates. So, replace fat with an equal amount of something else. Fat tastes nice, right? My instructor said to me one day, eating a piece of cheese is like eating a lump of fat. I can stand here and educate you all about fats, but we all need to educate ourselves. I am telling you, God has given me such a passion for this, and I just feel I want to share it with you all. Eating more carbohydrates is not the answer, though. We do have to limit them. I try not to eat carbs after 4 o'clock now. Too much carbohydrate in our bodies gets stored as glucose for energy, which is why athletes like to eat it just before competing. If our muscles are in use, that's fine, and they'll get plenty of energy. If our bodies aren't, it will all be converted to glucose and fat. And what is to store it like that, which is not a nice thought, is it? In biblical times, people ate lots of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, fish, occasional red meat and poultry, and very little, mostly yogurt. The message is, eat fat the right kind. Joyce Meyer puts it this way. The larger lesson here is the resident truth of the Bible about balance and moderation. Beware of any fad pushing an extreme in any area. And that's what I hope that was understandable for everybody.
Glory to God. Amen. I've been on a biblical diet this week. Fat-free, chicken, fish, yogurt, fruit. I've still had some chocolate though. A little, you know, I mean. Keep me lean and mean. A lot of things that have been said is something that I have been pondering, and I'm just going to start this message. It won't be finished, but it's something that it's just been triggered off today. And like Grace, I was having a conversation with somebody on Friday, and it was a case of, well, you know my problem, it's because of my past. It's always great to blame your past. Because you see, I can't go there and change it, can I? Nobody can go and change the past. You can't go back to the past and say, let's just change this and something will be different. Because it won't. But the problem is today,
So many people are living with a past. Yeah. Everybody lives with something from the past. Yeah. Well, Jesus came and he died for us and he rose again on the cross that we might not live with a past, amen, but we might live with a future.
Yeah.
Your past, you cannot change. I can't change it. Nobody in this world today can change the past.
Right.
So why do we look back at it?
Pointless.
Waste of time. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, please. I'm going to share something, first of all, what happened in the past. Genesis chapter 1. And verse 27. And it says, God created mankind in his own image. Take that ring off, please. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God created you in the past.
Amen.
With a future.
God.
He created you with a future, with a destiny, with some adventure and some excitement, but he created you with a fantastic future.
Amen.
And the devil came in on the scene. And we move to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 12. And God walks into the garden. And the man said, the woman thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Somebody else is always going to get the blame.
Yeah.
Okay? It wasn't me. It wasn't my fault.
Yeah.
It's my past.
Yeah.
So people live with this past. And they can use this as an excuse for their rebellion, their disobedience, their wickedness, their right to do what they're doing right now, because it's not my fault, it's my past. Great excuse. Because like I said, you and I cannot change what happened in the past. The only thing I can make is my future. The only thing I can make sure that where I'm going is that my future, by facing it into the things of God and doing what God tells me to do.
Amen.
Then I know I have a sure and certain hope, it says.
Yes.
It means, in a sure and certain hope, it means I have a great future.
Praise God.
I have a destiny that
Amen.
God wants me to fulfill. And so do you.
Amen.
But if you keep hanging on to your past, what are you doing? You have this dragging anchor that never allows you to achieve your blessings for the future. You never arrive at the destiny that God wants for you because you're dragging your past. Maybe this is where that little verse of scripture comes in, just comes to mind, where it talks about going through the eye of a needle.
Yeah.
A camel to go through the eye of a needle. I remember when I first heard that as a child, I thought, how do you get? I used to thread needles for my mother. Can you remember them days, Ray? And your mother said, can you just thread me that, Andrew? Yeah. And you just go straight through. Nowadays, it's like, can somebody just thread me this needle? You know. But, and I think, how would you, I've all on getting a piece of cotton through, how do you get a camel through? But what it's talking about is that when a city was closed, the only gate that was opened, every gate was locked except one gate. And it was called the Needle Gate. And you could bring a camel in through there if you took its load off it.
Yeah.
And if the camel got down on its knees and shuffled through. In other words, it was made literally for one person to get through at a time, so there was no way that an army could attack the city in force. Yeah. It was a restrictor. Yeah. And so here, we've got to the city gate, but it's a needle gate. Yeah. We've got to the foot of the cross, but it's an excuse me, but it's a needle cross. And to get through the gate, we have to get on our knees. Yeah. And we have to go through, and we can't take the past. We can't take the burdens. Because what happens is, if we start to go through the gate, all of a sudden, it all gets snagged against the edges of the gateposts. And I'm in Christ, but I'm not really. It's my past that's holding me back from being anything in God. Yeah. It's my past that stops me doing anything great for Jesus. Yeah. Well, I've got a simple answer. Dump it.
Oh, man.
Erase it.
Yeah.
God has. It's like Claire read. What is your ministry? Holding on to the past will not let you have a ministry. Holding on to the failures. Oh, we know people like to remind you of when you did this and when you did that. And that's fine. If they want to live in the past, let them live there. But I'm not. I have people who tell me, I remember when you did this and I remember when you did that. And it's like, well, good on you, because tell you what, I've forgotten. And that's all that matters. Because I've chosen to forget. Because I want to see, I can only see my future. That's right. God said He's blotted it out. He says He chooses not to remember your past.
So why
are you doing it? Why do we remember our past? All the rotten things that we've done. God says, well, what are you on about, Christine? When you start telling Him, what are you talking about? See, he's made a decision. Yeah. I don't know the Christine Snow before she got saved. Yeah. Right? Yeah. He doesn't know you before you got saved. You weren't his child. You were a child of the devil. Yeah. When you accepted Jesus, you became his child. Then he knew you. Now he knows everything about you, and he knows your future. He knows your destiny.
Amen.
He has it available to you, but you and I have to cooperate with the Word of God, with God Himself,
yeah,
that this future will be fulfilled.
I agree.
I have a destiny, we sing that song. I know I shall fulfill. Are you going to fulfill your destiny, or are you going to live in the past? Because I'm not
going to
live with you. Because
no.
There's no hope in the past.
No.
You can rehearse it and rehearse it and rehearse it. And guess what? The outcome does not change.
That's it.
Still the same.
Yeah.
Oh, if only I'd done this. Well, too late.
Yeah.
We've all said that. If only I'd said this. Too late.
Mm-hmm.
It's too late. Move on.
Yeah.
Some people's past drive them to drink and to drugs.
Yeah.
And from that point it drives them to death.
Yeah.
To suicide. To the body failing.
Yeah.
And why? Because I'm living in my past. Yeah. And I'm dragging it with me wherever I go. Don't live in your past, because it's a killer. The devil's an accuser. The only thing he has to accuse you on is your past. And if you've no past, he has no level, nowhere and nothing to accuse you. He has no tools, no ammunition to accuse you with. Because he's like, devil, I don't have a past. Yes, If I sinned today, I went to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm sorry. And he says, that's all right, you're forgiven. And when the devil comes, oh, by the way, today you sinned. He says, excuse me, no, you've got the wrong person. It's all been dealt with at the cross.
Yesterday's the past.
It's forgiven. Keeping short accounts with God and we move on. As we move on, we see God moving in power in our lives. What verse did I get to? The woman. We're blaming the woman, aren't we? That's right. That's where we were. Blame the women. Glory to God. Then she blames the devil. Then she blames the devil. You know, it's always somebody else to blame. Yeah, it's my parents' fault. Oh, they didn't do this for me.
Yeah.
The way I was brought up. Exactly. It's like, it's all rubbish now. The Bible says, you are now a new creation. No more in condemnation, we sing. So I'm a new creation.
Yeah, you know something, I've got to tell you this. Today, when I was at the gym, I sat after my session for a good 10 minutes talking to somebody about that he needs to forget his past and move on.
Are you listening? You have to listen to yourself sometime. I know people that, as I said, they'll drag me past up. I drag it up. Guess what? My past is dead. It's buried in God's sea of forgetfulness. So you can drag the lake as much as you want. Because you'll find nothing. Because God knows every part of me. And God's not choosing to look at that area in my life. He's choosing to look at me and saying, I have a future. I have a destiny for you. My thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. For my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And my ways are higher than your ways, says the Lord. So straight away God's saying, straighten your thinking out. Get that stinking thinking from out your rear end and put it on your shoulders and look towards the future in God. Start thinking aright. Well, how do I think aright? Well, let me tell you this. You get into the Word of God.
Yeah.
And it'll start changing the way you think. It'll start changing the way you look at yourself.
Yeah.
It'll start changing the way you talk about yourself.
Yeah.
I remember once somebody saying to me, you think you're a little Jesus, don't you? And I just said, yeah. And I wasn't boasting. But it says I'm a son of God. And that we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And that Christ is in us and that we're in Christ. And if that's the case, I'm a spitting image of Jesus. And so when they said to me, you think you're a little Jesus, I just said, yeah. They went ballistic with me. They threw a fit with me and went out the house in a storm. And I'm like, what happened? I only just answered the question, yeah. I weren't sort of say, oh, yes, sure I am. No, it just, yeah. That's who I think I am because that's what the Bible tells me I am. And guess what? I am not going to argue with God. Because I will lose.
Yeah.
I've tried it a few times and lost every time. So I know. If God says it, I might not be quite there yet, but he says it, so that's my target.
Amen.
That's the direction that I'm going in.
Amen.
Praise his wonderful name. So the woman says, the serpent deceived me, verse 13, and I ate. Now listen. What does God do first of all? Verse 14. He says, and the Lord God said to the serpent, he turns to the serpent, not to the man, not to the creation that he's made in his own image. He turns to the serpent. It says, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field, and on your belly you shall go, and the dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and listen to this. And he, the man, shall bruise you on your head, and you shall bruise him on his heel. The man, the Adam, the second Adam, he shall do this. This is God prophesying. He's not looking at the past. He's looking at the future now. He's looking at the answer to what's just happened. He's not looking at the past and thinking, oh, what am I going to do about it? You know, we're stuck in this situation. And if I hadn't created that tree in this garden for this man, then this wouldn't have happened. Can you see? Now God's saying, no, I've got an answer. I'm moving this into the future now. I've got a plan.
Amen.
I've got a purpose. He's going to bruise your head.
Amen.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And then God said to the woman, I will greatly multiply your pains in childbirth, and in pain shall bring forth children, and yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and because you have eaten from the tree, and which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In the toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles shall grow forth, and you shall eat of the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. It shall turn till you return to the ground, because you were taken from the dust, and to dust you shall return. There's God's judgment in that failure. But God had already got a plan to redeem his sons back to himself.
Amen.
God's not focusing on the past, but he's focusing on the future. He's already made a plan. He said, because of what you've done, you've caused a curse. So now I have to do something about this. So my plan is not to leave you in the curse, but to reverse the curse.
Amen.
My plan is to deliver you from the curse and to give you life, and life more abundantly. That's what my plan is. So I need to send the second Adam. I need to stop you from living in the past and deliver you out of your past and put you into a new future. A new hope, a new security in God. So if I hear you saying to me, oh, well, if you'd have known what sort of child that I had. Well, if you'd have known what sort of child that I had, maybe you'd have some sympathy for me. But I'm not prepared to talk about it. I want to live in this day.
Amen.
And I'm planning the tomorrow in God.
Amen.
Because I know I have a sure and certain hope. And this is what God says to us. Romans 8. You see, God is trying to restore back to you, back to the earth, a paradise that God intended for the earth. When God created the earth, it was a paradise. It was a delight. There was nothing wrong with it.
No.
It was perfect.
It was
good. In fact, very good. And God said, this is fantastic what I've created. God's boasting on himself. What a great job I have done on this creation. This is a fabulous place for my son to live in. Can you see? This is fantastic what I created for him to live in.
Yeah.
And then we go and mess it up. But that's okay, God says. He wants to restore back to you and to me the paradise. Romans 8 and verse 19. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God.
Amen.
Creation is waiting for the sons of God to stand up. That's what creation's waiting for.
Yeah.
Creation will submit to the authority of the sons of God.
Amen.
How can you talk like that? Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 19, in Matthew 16, verse 16 through to 19, it says, I give you all authority and all power. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What you bind loose in the heaven shall be loosed on the earth, etc. And so, God has given us the authority. We don't use it. Oh, what am I going to do? I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I'll tell you how you can get through this. Get hold of God. Get hold of His Word. Remember this. You are called for a purpose. God has a plan for you. What is the ministry that God has given to you? What is it that you should be doing that you are not doing, and you're not doing it because of your history? Me, I'm shy, quiet, reserved, nervous, timid. That was me growing up. That was me when I was 16. That was me when I was 17. Then I got filled with the Holy Spirit at 17, 18 years old. And something started to change. And I became bold. Process started. There was a change going on within me. I mean, when I first started preaching, I had butterflies as big as elephants. You know, I mean, I could have felt like I'd visited the toilet so many times during the time of preparation. I wore a toilet out every time I had to preach, basically. Flush, not again, flush, not again, flush. I said, oh, it's not God. Oh, you know, and then I get there and tell you. Because I was fighting my past. And bringing the past into subjection to the plans and the purposes of Jesus Christ. Amen. And my Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
And that's what each and every one of us needs to do. We bring into subjection the things that are not of this world. And bring them to the subjection to the things of God.
Amen.
So creation's waiting for you. It's waiting for the sons of God to stand up and take their rightful place.
Yeah.
Verse 20 says, for creation was subject to futility, not of its own will. Creation did not choose to be in the situation that it is in now.
No.
God did not create this world to be in the situation that it is in now. We made it. We surrendered it. We allowed this to happen because Adam had the authority to rule and reign on the earth. And so creation waits. For creation was subject to the futility, not of its own will, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. That the creation itself also will be free from its slavery to corruption, into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Creation waits and groans to get its own salvation.
Amen.
To get its own freedom.
It
We've heard of earthquakes, right? Even recently, haven't we? The earth groans. It shakes with the sinfulness of mankind. When the sons of God begin to rule and reign, things will change.
Yes.
Now some of the scientific people will say, you're talking rubbish. Yeah, well, I'll talk rubbish because that's what the Bible says. And if you want to call God rubbish, then you're going to have to stand before Him and answer to that.
That's right.
I'm just telling you what the Word of God says.
Yeah.
That when the sons of God come into their rightful place, in their rightful position, take their rightful authority, things have to bow the knee. Things have to change. It's like when we pray for the sick and we see them healed and we believe God's to doing it. What is happening? God is changing chemical imbalances. God is renewing things that were not that were wrong in somebody's body. How did He do it? I have no idea. But all we are doing is taking authority of the Word of God and using it as it should be used, like Jesus did, and these people are being healed.
Amen.
That's what we have to do. Every one of us, if we will spend time in the presence of God and let the anointing of God begin to fill us and fill us, He will move us into different ministries. Every one of you has a ministry within this body. Every one of you has a part to play to fit.
Amen.
I am not the audio man. I am not the video man. That's Bill's function. And like, bless God, let him get on with it. He enjoys it, I don't.
Yes.
I like it to be right.
Amen.
But don't ask me to do it because I don't have time. I'm too busy doing other things that what I should be doing.
Amen.
Doing my ministry. Doing my spiritual function. Ken. He should be taking over the pastoral ministry of this body. It's not my job. I nearly said I hate it. I don't hate it. It's just not my fit.
No.
I'll do it. But sometimes it's like wearing a jacket that just don't fit. You're walking, bah, this is tight. Well, it's like my trousers, you know. Having come back from Romania, put certain trousers on and you go, what size are they? Grace, you've had them on a hot wash again, haven't you? And then, do you know what? She said, get the tape measure out. So I got the tape measure out.
It's not your fault, is it?
No, it's not my fault. There you go. This is the point I'm making. It's not my fault. I got this tape measure out and I looked at the numbers.
37.
Were it 37? And I thought, I have never been 37. When we got married, I was 27 inch waist. I mean, you turn sideways, stick my tongue out, look like a zip. You know what I mean? You couldn't see me. 29 inch waist. Now I'm 37. You know, 8 inches has gone on. Great, that's it. Thank you, praise God. It's grace, it must be grace's fault. Well, I keep saying that, but it don't work. So now I've got to take responsibility and do something about it. So I'm on sort of a diet, you know, cutting back, shall we say. I'm not dieting. I don't need to diet, but... well, that's another quick way of doing it, but... Then in the end, you see, I get uncomfortable carrying something in front of me. Well, I didn't like to say that. But you're doing something about it. I mean, I'll be honest, sometimes I sit down and I think, oh dear me. And I think, bless you guys and ladies that maybe have got a little bump in the middle, I think, how do you manage? How do you manage, Claire? You know, yours kicks even at this moment. So, and I just think, oh. So, and for me, it's like, I've got to get rid of this. Because I have a future. I have a purpose to live for. And we press on into the things that God has for us. Verse 22 says, for we know that all creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Glory to God. And not only this, but we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within us, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. We're looking to a sure and certain hope. There's a future that God has for each and every one of us. There is a purpose that God has for each and every one of us. But your past is holding you back.
Yeah.
Cut the rope.
Amen.
You are not what you were 10 years ago. You are not what you were when you were a child. And the mistakes that you made along the way, you can't change them now. But you can only live this day. You can only plan the future. You can only move in God in the future and make the right decisions. Isaiah 52 and verse 2. It says this. Shake. We've had some of it read, but I like this verse too. It says, shake yourself. Somebody else ain't going to do it.
No.
Nobody else is going to do it for you.
No.
What does it say? Shake yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought somebody were going to do it all for me. Tuffy, it's not. You're going to have to do it. You see, you're not a baby. When you have a baby, you have to feed it, don't you? You have to get, once it's off the bottle, and you put food in front of it, you have to teach it to use a spoon. And you feed the child, don't you? If you don't, it's all over. It's got air gel in the form of whatever you're feeding it on. Or it's on the walls, you know. Or on the cap. But it doesn't go in the mouth where it's supposed to be going. So you have to teach it and etc. and show it what to do. So that after a while, it will then do it for itself. Well, you ain't babies anymore. We don't have a diaper changing room. We don't have bottles set out on the side ready to microwave so we can feed you with them. We lay on a 3-course meal. Get your own knife and fork and step up to the plate.
Amen.
Feed yourself.
Yes.
And the Bible says, shake yourself.
Yeah.
Go on. Shake yourself. Shake yourself from the dust. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up!
Amen.
Oh, captive Jerusalem, are you captive by your past?
Uh-oh.
Then you better shake yourself and start to rise up.
Yeah.
Shake yourself, rise up. You see, God does not intend for you to be captive. Jesus came, He died for you. He came to set you free. Guess what? You are free. Now shake yourself from the dust. Shake the dust off you. That's it, Edwin. Give yourself a good shake. None of the past is left behind on you.
Amen.
It's like the dog, it goes for a swim. What does it do when it gets out? It shakes itself. Head to tail, everything shakes. Everybody else gets wet and the dog's dry. And you see it coming, you think, oh no, 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 no. And the dog says, the dog does not understand. No, he says, just try this. And everywhere it goes. Remember that movie? I think the dog was called Ooch. Turner and Hooch. Great, big, enormous, I don't know what it was, but it slavered. And did it, it was like nearly frothing at the mouth. And when it shook itself, its chops just went. And it just went all over, in, you know, splat, splat, splat. And this guy was a perfectionist, you know, everything in its place, the best of this, the best of that. He was a bachelor, and this dog came in and took over. All over the place, chewed the settee and chewed this. And I was like, I'll kill it, you know. Shake yourself from your past. Deliver yourself from it. God has already done all He's going to do about your past.
Amen.
He says, I've buried it. I've made a lake and I've buried it in there. You get out. Shake yourself. Get into your new ministry. What I prepared
Amen.
For you. Come on.
Amen.
Stop living in the past. Stop blaming somebody else. Just stand up and say, I made some mistakes, but guess what? I'm shaking myself from all of that.
Amen.
And I'm not going to make them again.
Amen.
Because this time I've got Jesus by my side. I've got the Word of God in me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to make the same mistakes.
Amen.
You see, you made those mistakes when you didn't know Jesus. You made those mistakes when you didn't know the Word of God. Things are different now.
Praise God.
Move it on.
Amen.
Move forward in God. And we will see God moving in power. Remember Genesis chapter 19 and verse 26. The angels come to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
Lot is told, come on, we're going to get you and your family out. They were righteous. They were good people. And they're leaving. Sodom and Gomorrah is being destroyed by hail and brimstone. And Lot is in front and his wife is dragging on behind. She's hanging on to the past. She's holding on to it. She's been told she's got a great future, a better future. God's doing this. God's in charge. He has a plan for you, but she's hanging on to the past. And so in the end, she turns around and she looks at her past. And her past consumes her. That's what happened. Her past consumed her. And she became a pillar of salt. She was going nowhere. She had no future. She only had a past. And a past brought her to the grave. Oh, guess what? I'm not ready to die yet. I'm not ready to die. In fact, I'm not even planning. I'm not even planning. I've had one or two people say, you need to make a will. I mean, my wife says, you need to make a will. And I'm like, I'm not thinking about dying. And I just find that a struggle. I know maybe in real terms I should, but I just, it's a challenge. It's a big challenge because I'm not thinking about dying. Never crosses my mind. Oh, he's not having any money, that's for sure. I'm going to spend it all anyway. Glory to God. So, I'm not planning to die. No, God's no intention on this at this time. So, and I'm not going to live in the past. And I'm not going to live with mistakes I've made along the way. Because I know this, I'm not perfect. You don't need to say it with such positiveness.
I know
you
agree all the time, Grace.
Look,
I'm just like you.
I'm with you all the way.
But I don't know if she gets your back up.
Glory to God. I know my place. I'm the head of the house because the neck tells me. Glory to Jesus. I'm me and that's it. And God uses me.
Amen.
As me.
Yeah.
He doesn't expect me to be somebody else. Some people, you either love me or hate me. There's no middle ground. And that's the truth. Don't know why, but that's where it always seems to land. That's fine. I'm not going to change. And I'm not going to be governed by circumstances and situations because I have to be governed by the Word of God. This is what the book says. This is what the book says. I have a calling. I have a destiny. I have an appointment. God's, and it says, do it. Do it with all of your heart. With all of your might. With all of your strength. And that's me. I do not hold back. I just get on and do it. My problem is sometimes I run over one or two people while I'm doing it. I know that. And then Grace has to say, Andrew, cool your jets, cool your jets, cool your jets. I'm like, but my afterburners are running. I'm on a, and I'm going for it. But that's where my ministry goes. That's what God asked for me to do. Face the challenges. For me, I've had it said to me numerous times that I would have to face the establishment. Yeah. I would challenge the establishment. I would challenge the system. God said, you're going to pull down. Yeah. You're going to destroy. I'm like, this sounds like a fantastic ministry. Where everybody will love me. Yeah. But that's what I'm called to do. I can't do what I'm not called to do. I can't do what Bill does for the PA and the SD cards and the video and all that sort of stuff. Can't do it. Okay, I could spend hours learning it and Bill would teach me. But would I be happy? Would I be fulfilled? No. I would be of a man most miserable. And that's not to say Bill is doing something miserable. That's not. That's what he loves. That's what he enjoys. And thank God somebody loves doing it. If I did it, you'd think, what is he? Because he don't want to do it. But you see, you have to have a passion to do what God gives you to do, and you do it with all your heart.
Yeah.
I don't want half-hearted Christians. Because
no.
I know what it says in Revelation. He says, God says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. In other words, I'll spit you out of my mouth.
Yeah.
That's what he says. And today in our countries, we have lukewarm Christians. God says, guess what? I'm going to spew you out my mouth. The word has not changed. God is looking for people who are on fire.
Amen.
For the gospel. To be brands that will set on fire, set alight the fields and bring in the harvest. That's what God wants for each and every one of us. You will move. God wants you to be fulfilled.
He does. Frustrated.
Otherwise you'll be frustrated. Yeah. You'll be held back.
Yeah.
You'll be cheated.
Yes.
Of your destiny.
Yeah.
You'll be cheated of your joy.
Yeah.
We've just come back from Romania. And at times I just cannot get enough of seeing that God's power moving. Not that it doesn't move here, don't get me wrong. I mean, the other week when we had such a move of the presence of God. I live and breathe for that. I made a promise to God. And I live and breathe for that. If I don't see it, I'm frustrated. If I don't see the hand of God moving, I'm frustrated. I'm not in detail. Don't give me reports to write. Don't give me charts to tick. Don't like doing them. All right, I have to do certain things, but generally speaking, it's like I do it because I have to do it and that's it. But don't give me a lot of it to do. Let me do what I've been called to do, what I'm created to do. What are you called to do? What are you created to do? What ministry? Claire's launched some of that. Bill's, it's this thing of getting rid of the past and living for the ministry that God has given to you. Your past cannot kill you. Do you know why? Any idea? Your past cannot kill you. Do you know why?
Because it's gone.
Thank you. Because it's gone. It doesn't exist. It does not exist. Everybody's, you hear it, it's all looking at history. Well, guess what? I'm looking at future.
Amen.
I'm looking at a sure and certain hope in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's where I'm looking. Because along the way I made some mistakes. But guess what? I still have a future.
Amen.
And I'm leaving all my mistakes behind me.
Amen.
And when I get to heaven, God will not be saying, oh, by the way, what about this that you did? No.
Blotted out.
It's all blotted out. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's going to come. What I'm looking and desiring and wanting to hear is, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Well done, Bill. Thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
That's what God's going to say.
Amen.
Bill's going to say, well, I only did what I enjoyed. Is that a criminal? No. I only did what I enjoyed. Because the Lord wants you to enjoy His presence every day. The Lord wants you to enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah.
Don't let your future growth and development hinge also on, well, when I've got this sorted out, when I've got these things arranged, but it's all history, when I've got all them arranged and sorted out, then I can move forward. Well, guess what? You'll never sort it.
No.
You'll never arrange it.
No.
You'll never fix it.
No.
Because you've been trying for that many years and you still haven't got the answer to it. But I have. And the answer is Jesus.
Yeah.
And the answer is
Amen.
Looking forward.
Yeah.
Following him.
Yeah.
Being a disciple and leaving behind the past. And saying, guess what? I can't fix it. I've tried to fix it for years. But God has actually fixed it. He's thrown it down his eternal shredder.
Yeah.
He's put it down the crusher. He said, we don't need any of that. Why? Because I'm born again.
Amen.
I'm born again. I'm a new creation. No more in condemnation. I'm new. So if I'm new, I've no past. If I'm new, I've no history. Glory to God. I'm created as the second Adam.
Praise God.
I'm created with a destiny for the paradise of God. I'm created for that very purpose. And each and every one of us is building and preparing and moving towards the paradise that God intended right at the beginning
Amen.
Of creation, when God said, it is good, it is very good.
Woo.
That's where God is taking us. That's what God wants for us. But your past will take you somewhere else. Leave it behind. It's not yours. That person is dead.
Amen.
You've been baptized. That person's dead. You buried them. You buried them. Don't try and raise them up from the dead again. And don't let the devil try. Don't let the devil try and bring your habits, stop your habits in the track. Say, no, that's not me. That's not me. Things are different now. Great things are in front of you.
Amen.
Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. So what are you going to do?
Shake yourself.
Arise from the dust. You see, dust speaks of failure. Dust speaks of the devil and his demonic ways.
And he don't want you to shake yourself.
No, the devil does not want you to shake yourself at all.
Because that's him finished.
Because he eats dust.
Yeah, he does.
He'll come along and he'll lick you. I like dust.
Yeah.
He says, I love dust.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll cuddle up to dust.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll even put myself around dust.
Yeah, that's it.
And he coils around you and ties you down. Well, the word says, shake yourself.
Amen.
Shake yourself. Shake yourself. And then guess what? There's no dust.
Amen.
And the devil's not got no hold on you. If you keep getting yourself rolling in the dust of the past. Have you noticed? If some place is shut up and then you go into it, what's there? Full of dust. Where's that dust from? It's from the past. It's from the past. That's right, yeah. Jesus said, if people don't receive you, shake the dust. Shake the devil, shake the earthly things away from you and move on into the realm of the spirit. God has created you to be spiritual.
Woo!
And take nothing of the world with you. He said to his disciples, just go on out. Just preach the word.
Amen.
I will provide. Trust the Lord. Stop living in your past, because your past is going to do nothing for you. The past is trying to kill you. It's trying to tie you down. Because every time you start to move forward, somebody will say to you, "Well, how can you think you can do this? Well, don't you remember when?" And they always bring up your past, don't they? What's that got to do with it? What has my past got to do with what I'm doing now?
Nothing.
The thing that we're not trying to preach is glibly. We need to make sure that we repent, we deal with things, and we move on. Move on. Sam, I'm moving on. I'm not letting history dictate my future. The only person that's going to dictate my future is Jesus Christ, and Him crucified and risen from the dead, ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father.
Yes.
He is the one who is dictating my future.
Yes.
And He said, "I am a son of God."
Amen.
And He said, "I am part of His inheritance."
Yes.
And He said, "I will reign with Him."
Yes.
Don't get excited, whatever you do, I'll do that for you. I'm going to reign with Him.
Amen.
Glory to God.
He
said, we're created to rule and reign. If you read in the beginning, Adam was to rule and reign the earth.
Yeah.
That's my destiny. What's your destiny?
Rule and reign in the earth.
You got to rule and reign. Rule this piece of earth with the word of God.
Amen.
And then let it move out. Let it move forward in power and authority. And I tell you this, you will see God moving in great and mighty ways in the precious name of Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We have a wonder working Jesus. Prayer requests. Hallelujah. Now we can pray because we're getting rid of the past.
Amen.
We're shaking the dust.
Yes.
We're believing in the authority of the Word of God.
Yeah.
And the Word of God says that we can.
Amen.
We shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover. There is not "they might," that "they could." It says "they shall."
Amen.
There's not a doubt in there.
No, there
is "we shall."
There is.
So we need to keep on praying for Edwin. Edwin goes for some test results this week. And we're going to believe God that these will be clear.
Amen.
No more problems. Yeah? Shake yourself. Hallelujah. Before you go into that doctor, shake yourself. I'm believing the word of God. I'm free.
Amen.
Amen. And then there's, is this Darina? She has a bad chest, a heart complaint, and a bad knee. Jones brought that. Tracy, not feeling well, chesty. She's been sounding chesty these last few weeks in particular. And we just need to pray for her.
Amen.
And she does say though, but blood tests have come back and it's improved. Praise God. So God is working. God is working. So we're pushing on. And she says, "Thank you." Carpenter's Arms, one of the people who worked there, he's been a worker there for about 4 or 5 years. He's been in the early days with us. His name is Keith Reynolds. He has been diagnosed with bowel cancer. He's had one operation and they're calling him back this Monday for a second operation, and he just asked that we pray that there'll be no infection and there'll be no after effects and that he'll come through. This is believing God for a complete and full healing.
Amen.
So I prayed with him on the phone this morning and I said the people in Harvest Fields will be praying for you today. Because we believe in a healing Jesus. So his name's Keith Reynolds. So we're just going to lift these people with these requests right now. And we're just going to lift them up before the Lord, before the throne of healing. And we're just going to release from heaven.
Amen.
We're going to release from heaven healing virtue. By faith. Not with doubt and fear, but by faith. And thank God for that. Pray for Claire.
Yes.
And she is carrying a little one at this time. That all through the pregnancy, that things will improve. She shall be feeling much stronger.
Amen.
And the baby will not kick as hard. And bless it. And we'll just continue to pray at this time as well. So it's great, isn't it? God is, you know, Eve was told difficulty in childbearing. That's not for the believer. Right? That's not for the believer. That's the curse. We are no longer under the curse. We are the blessed. The children of God. If you read, it says in Exodus, when the children were there in Egypt and they were expecting children, the midwives knew that the child was due and they'd come racing round to deliver the child. The child was already born and gone and dealt with. And it's like, and the order was to kill all the male children. They're saying, well, what's happening, you know? And the midwives are saying, well, by the time we get there, the child's born and gone. They're that fast at it. It's that easy for them, you see. God takes care of his own. And we believe that. So let's all stand and just lift these requests right now. And we believe God, and let's release that healing virtue from the very throne room of God. Hallelujah. Pray, continue to pray for Marie's sister. Again, that healing power will come, start to flow and quicken and bring life in an abundance in Jesus' name. Amen. The family's had this now for some time with her in hospital, and we just need to see that come to its fullness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we just lift these requests. We lift these needs, O God, before you. And these, Lord, are not impossible before you, O Father. But Lord, you say that nothing is impossible for you to do. So we come to a God who deals with impossible problems that are impossible to us. And we lift these impossible problems before you, O God. And we know, Lord, you say it is possible. And so we lift them before you, Father, in the hope and belief, Father, that you will do something mightily in these lives. We will touch, you will heal. Lord, you'll destroy cancer. You'll clear this chest, oh God. You'll speak peace to this baby and make life easy, oh God. And to this heart, oh Father, we say, let the power of God begin to quicken it in the mighty name of Jesus. And for Edwin, oh God, that Lord, the results will be clear. And that, Father, he shall just start to rejoice even now, knowing, oh God, that you are the God that hears and answers. We don't need to hear it from the doctors. We need to hear it from you, Lord Jesus. And so right now, Father, we pray, release that healing virtue. Set the captives free. We send you word, oh God, and let these people receive their healing in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise him. Let everything that hath breath
praise the Lord.
Amen. Glory to God.
Shake the dust.
Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go on. Oh, absolutely. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Yeah, what a song. Yeah. Diadem. Crown him. Lord of all. Amen. Amen. Lord of all. Crown him, Lord of all. Crown him, Lord of all. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we do. And you know, when we obey him, when we do his will, when we fulfill our purpose that God has created for us within the church and in our own lives, we crown him. We crown him. We crown him. And we bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to take up our offerings, our tithes and offerings for the work. And we're just going to bless God in all that we do. And we just give him thanks. You know, he said, he's the Lord of the harvest. And as we sow our seed, he will be the Lord of our harvest. So we just thank you for your giving, for your faithfulness. And may the Lord bless you richly. Amen.